Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. I have Paul. Welcome back, Paul. How are you, man?
I'm fine, Jerry. I'm enjoying the World Cup more than I thought I would do. England's off through. The sun is shiny. I'm having a lovely day.
And I'm living vicariously through you. So thank you for that. And thank you, Jordan Pickford. There you go.
Thank you, Jordan Pickford.
Oh, yeah. Really quick, let's go through the summary of what the show is going to look like for the podcasters out there. We're going to start with a World Cup update, talk about how our guys are doing at the World Cup, and the sweepstake update. Who's still alive? There's only two still alive. Hardly anyone is still alive. Yeah, I'm not either. So then we'll do a little transfer focus, and we're going to talk about Kieran Tierney and Ruben Loftus-Cheek, with some brief mention of Rami Bensabaini and Yerry Mina. So we'll talk about all of that coming up in a little while. Additionally, we'll talk about outgoing transfers, because we've had some. That's been the main focus for Everton this transfer window so far. Getting some people off the bill, off the wage bill, you know? Free up a bunch of space. Let's buy some folks now. And lastly, we're going to talk about the possible first team chances of Benny Bunningame. Okay, is he actually going to be in the squad? Are we going to put him out on loan? Do you think the coach is going to be impressed? What could be his role? We got to go into that. And I'm just going to say Benny, because Bunningame, Bunningame, yeah, Benny. Let's do it.
Benny.
All right, Paul. So let's build up to Pickford, shall we? Let's start with Idrissa Gueye. Idrissa Gueye's Senegal is out after a loss.
Yeah.
To, gosh, who did they lose to?
Colombia.
They lost to Colombia. Yeah, it was a loss to Colombia because they played well and they didn't deserve to lose to Colombia, but they lost. And because of fair play, they're out. The tiebreaker with them in Japan. So, bummer, but you know what? Japan actually made a good showing for themselves in the in their first knockout round. So, I'm not totally hating the fact that they were out, but yeah, here's the thing about Idrissa Gueye's team going out. It was off a corner, and Idrissa Gueye was on the post with his hand on his hip, just kind of chilling when the ball went about 4 feet to his right.
Oh, there, there.
So when I saw it happen, I was like, oh no, maybe I just missaw that. Oh no, I hope nobody sees that. And then it's all over the place.
Oh, no.
So yeah.
Well, heartbreaking for him, but you know he did. I don't think he got credited with the goal in the end, but he did. He kind of did score in the first game, so it wasn't a total crappy World Cup for him. I mean, I really like Senegal. I was very disappointed when they went out. I mean, I like Japan too, but I really would have liked to see Senegal come through, because it's not very. I think that was only the second time they ever got to a World Cup, and you know, they really brighten up the tournament. You know, they're not really a crap house team, but they're not Colombia. They don't roll around causing trouble. Their fans are really good. Look like they're having really good fun in the stadium. They've got some very, very underrated good players, Gueye being one of them. And their manager just looks cool as anything. He's with the long hair and things like that. So I was very disappointed for Gueye. They didn't deserve to go out based on performances. They over the three games they played well enough to go through, definitely. Yeah. And to go out in the way they did, just off a fair play rule, that's very tough to swallow for them. But at least Garner can go on his vacation now and come back for pre-season nice and fresh. So, shame for him, but Senegal's loss is Everton's gain. So,
well, with just
not the biggest disaster, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, for him a bit, but at the same time,
yeah.
I mean, you.
Yeah.
I mean, how long has he been here, and how many times have you sat there and questioned him, his effort, or his attitude? I say none.
Never.
Okay, and the only negative thing I've really seen from him was having his hand on his hip. He clearly mentally shut down for a second when that goal went
in.
Lack
of concentration.
Probably would not have gotten to that goal anyway, but the fact that he was doing that, it just looks bad, you know? But you know what? It shouldn't happen for a professional footballer, but he's a human being, all right? So I'm not going to condemn the guy on one play, but let's hope that shit doesn't creep in to this season. And I don't think it will. Okay? I felt like we can depend on him for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, Idrissa Gueye is out. Gylfi is out. Okay, after Iceland lost to Croatia 2-1. For the most part, I feel like Gylfi's strongest performance was against Argentina, that first game. And that was Iceland's strongest performance, really. Again, I'll be glad when he comes back too, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of similar for him. I mean, he had a tournament with his ups and downs. I mean, he missed a penalty in one game, then he scored in the next game, and then they went out again. So it just was very much a yo-yo World Cup for him and Iceland in general. But, you know, he was coming off of a long injury. I mean, wasn't he out for like the last 2 months of the season going into the World Cup? So, yeah, he can't have been fully fit, really. But hopefully those three games that he played, I don't think he played any warm-ups prior to the tournament, did he? As far as I'm aware.
I don't think so. I think it was a little questionable as to whether he was going to be fit for some people. Mm. And then it was declared fit, like, I think that week. So
yeah, so basically he's played three games in about 2-3 months. So hopefully that's just the perfect amount of game time for him to kind of kickstart again and reawaken his muscle memory and kind of get his fitness up. And then it's the perfect time for him to go and have a rest again. So he was out for a while. He was recovering. He got fit, he got sort of physically fit, as in able to get on the pitch. And then he got a couple of game times in. I mean, obviously, it's not pre-season. It's a World Cup. But for Evertonians, it would have felt like he's playing pre-season for someone else. He's got some game time under his belt. He kind of experienced the emotions of that goes through. So it's not just a case of he came on and he kind of just passed the ball around and it was all accidental. He got to play in very high-pressure, intense games. So he was able to break himself back in again, and get himself back in that environment on a pitch in a big game where all his fans are looking and need him to really pull out a performance. To get three games like that after such a long time out and now a chance for him to go away and rest again now, I think that's ideal. So hopefully when the preseason starts again and he comes back, because obviously him and Gay are going to have a little bit of extra time to recover, when he's back in pre-season and he's fully back training again, hopefully he is absolutely in tip-top shape, because he's had a rest and he's had some game time as well in between that. So hopefully it's not a case of him needing to shake any more rust off. That's what I'm saying. He won't have any rust on him, but he'll also be very, very fit and fully ready to just start the season banging form 100%, which was obviously not the case last season. He seemed like he was playing catch-up for a long time.
Yeah. He had that rest during our season, and now he's going to get a little rest during the summer. I agree. I think the World Cup was perfect for Sigurdsson being ready when our season starts. He's not going to get a full preseason, obviously, but this is a preseason, essentially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's getting that now. Now, we do need... I will continue to be interested and intrigued as to how Silva's going to use him and how he's going to fit into Silva's system. So that's something I'll be really curious to kind of see how we play in our preseason game matches, to see what kind of formation we're playing and what players will be. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see where Dowell's playing. You know, because I feel like Dowell's a similar player to Sigurdsson in terms of how they play. So I feel like wherever we see Dowell slot in, maybe where we see Sigurdsson slot in. I just don't see either one of them playing the wing, though, in a Silva system. I just don't. So, anyway, be interesting. I'll be psyched to have him back, though, because I want a full season with that guy. I really do.
The man of the moment.
He's got short arms. He's not tall. He used the wrong hand. Anybody else want to slag this guy off, really? Anyone?
Well, now that he's done well for England and he's practically England's property, they're going to spend the next 6 months trying to get him to a Champions League club.
Of course.
That's the way the British media works. They'll tell a guy he's terrible, and then as soon as he does something good for England, he's the greatest thing since Winston Churchill, and he belongs in the Champions League at a Chelsea or a Man United.
Yeah.
So just get ready for that. Pickford, the guy who was... too small, wrong hands, doesn't talk enough, you know, all those things that these idiots were coming out and calling him. They'll be the guys banging the drum trying to get this guy a move to a big club. Now, you watch.
The easiest thing to do on a goal is to blame the keeper. That's the easiest thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's so simple. He's the one in goal. it's not as easy to blame the left back that probably should have shepherded the player out wide. Danny Rose.
I did think that. I thought, why is Rose giving that guy basically the entire field to pick his time, have a cigarette, have himself a cup of tea, and then have the shot at the goal? He gave him all the time in the world. But as you were saying a moment ago, what really struck me about the criticism Pickford was getting was a lot of goalkeepers were saying, no, the guy has not done anything wrong, get off his back, what are people criticising him for? And every single player I saw who criticised him was an outfield player, defender,
yes,
a Lee Dixon, a Gary Neville, an Arsene Wenger in 3 years. It's like, you've got, I bet those guys as defenders, they've got plenty of experience of blaming the goalkeeper when a goal goes in. It's not our fault, we're the defenders. It's not my fault that I didn't get out quick enough. It's the guy behind me, don't blame me. They've got plenty of experience in passing the blame or kind of just throwing all the bad press onto the goalkeeper. So, as I said, the criticism Pickford was getting was absolutely ridiculous. He's made everybody look stupid. The same guys who were criticising him the other night, or through the week, sorry, are now the same people who are up his backside now. Guys like Lee Dixon, who sits there on the TV saying, oh, Jordan Pickford got a lot of criticism and he shoved it right back down their throats and he proved people wrong. It's like, yeah, he got criticism off you.
Yeah.
Off you? Like Jordan Pickford proved a lot of people wrong. Yeah, he proved you wrong. Like, you didn't need to say all that. So, just again, I'm really happy for Jordan. I mean, he can say now, no matter what happens in this tournament, he can say he's had a good tournament now because he saved a penalty in the shootout. He was absolutely vital in getting England to the next round. He made that Matrix-style save 2 seconds before their goal. So Pickford is basically more than justified the fact that he deserved to be the number one going into the tournament and not Butland. And all the people who were just looking to jump on his back and just blame him because they need something to talk about, they've been made to look absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm more than made up for him.
Yeah, I told my wife, I was like, no one's going to talk about that amazing save he made right before the goal, because it was right before the goal. All right. The fact that he got full extension and batted it just past, and it was clearly going right into the corner, right into the upper right corner. Okay. That full extension, it was amazing. And the thing is, that was a concentration tester, because no one would have expected a shot from there. It was a great shot. It was fully smart shot off of that Columbia player. I totally don't remember who took the shot. I was so surprised. I've been busy watching Pickford in that replay. I don't even care who shot it. But honestly, I knew it. I knew that everybody was going to talk about the goal if they lost. You know what I mean? If England lost, that was what they were going to talk about. But thank God he made a great save in the shootout. And so I see a lot of people going back and showing that amazing video, that slow-mo video of him extending to that. Oh, man. So I'm just glad it's getting credit because it deserves it. You know, concentration is a fully underrated part of goalkeeping. All right? We all remember Tim Howard, okay? Tim Howard was an amazing keeper if he had to make 20 saves a game. If he's sitting there facing shot, 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 you know, he can shut people down. He showed it many times before. But you remember when Martinez was the manager and he only had to face one or two shots a game and he got scored on one or two times a game?
Yeah.
Like, I remember one time we played Spurs and Spurs had one shot and we lost 1-0, 1-0. Like, seriously. And it was a concentration thing with him. He's gotten older, okay? That's just who he is. People get older. It's the way it is. Right now, Pickford is demonstrating that he's got concentration, all right? That's people don't realize that's necessity, you know? Yeah. So, we're happy as hell. This is good. You know, I'm not English, so I'm just having to rely on you guys' joy. And if an Everton player plays well, that's going to be one of my big priorities, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, anyway, this is good. This is good things. So now it's time to shut down Sweden. So, something we haven't discussed. Our picks for World Cup champ are all out. You had picked Spain, I believe, and Terry and I had picked Germany, and Max had picked Germany. They're gone. So there's that. Our Golden Boot picks are not looking great.
No.
I think the main Golden Boot picks right now that are doing well, Kane and Lukaku. Sweepstake. Who's left? John had Germany. We were all squinting, furrowing our eyebrows at the fact that John, who had done the sweepstake, had Germany. Guess what? He's out. All right? I had Nigeria, the hipster jersey choice. All right? They're out. Max had Spain. They're out. David had Denmark. They're out. Tom had Saudi Arabia. They're out. Edward had Belgium. And he's one of the people that are still in. Okay? Paul, you had Costa Rica. The Ticos did not have a great tournament.
No.
Jacob has England. Clearly they're in. Thomas had Peru. They're out. Terry had Iceland. They're out. And Paul F. had Australia. They're out. So, Jacob with England, Edward with Belgium. Feasibly, those could actually meet in the final. Okay? So, we'll see. Okay? And no, whoever wins nothing. Just to say, it's not like we all chucked in like £5 because I don't even know how much that would be in dollars anyway. So I guess that's it for our World Cup update. World Cup date. Wordplay. You ready to talk transfers, man?
I am.
Okay. We are going to do a focus on Kieran Tierney and Ruben Loftus-Cheek, but just to start off with two of the hot rumors from today, Rami Bensabaini, he's Algerian. He's a center back, but he also can cover left back. I think he played left back all last season for Rennes. My French is terrible. But 6'1", he's young, a 13... million, I don't know if that's million euro deal, has been mooted. Some say we're close to already signing him. I don't know, but it would be very much under the radar because I'd never heard of this player. I did go back and go do some research, and he does look really composed in the back, and he's very good in the air. But I don't know if this is happening or not. I've got to be honest. No idea.
I mean, he's young, isn't he? He's 22, 23? Yeah,
he's very young.
I mean, I can definitely see us being in the market for a very young centre-back. I mean, I don't really know much about this guy, if there's anything much on it. I mean, he plays in League One and for Stadia Rents, who are nothing great in League One. I mean, then they finished in the bottom half there last season. I'm not holding my breath on this transfer, if I'm honest. I mean, the only links I'm seeing with it is in the Daily Star, which I don't know if you know much about the Daily Star in this country, but it's most famous for having pictures of topless girls. So I kind of take anything they say transfer-wise, I get round in football teams, I take that with a pinch of salt. So maybe the guy can come in. It would be a big shock, but I'm not getting in the welcoming party ready just yet, really.
I'm also about the same place you are on that, because when you read the story, you see that they reference that a source close to the player said that it's close to happening. So I don't think that one's going to happen, but hey, you know, maybe his brother's sister's former roommate is right, telling the Star that it's going to happen. Who knows? So here's another one that I actually think may be more ready-made. Yerry Mina, Colombia, center back, 6'5", 23 years old. He's recently was signed by Barca, so that's a thing. But I think they want rid of him. Okay, so the big, tall Colombian center back, if you remember him from the World Cup match versus England, he got the header goal. He scored three header goals in the World Cup. He's really good in the air. And there are rumors from, I think, the Echo that we are very interested, and contact has been made. I saw another rumor, and I don't know where this was from, that we have made a 24 million euro bid. And who's to know what happens there? I didn't think we could get this guy, to be honest with you, but if we've already reached out,
Since he kind of left the club, we have been crying out for a Sylvain Distan, like, replacement defender. Big, tall guy, wins headers, has got pace, can cover up ground if he's ever caught out of position. And a guy who basically has got a bit of a, I'm trying to think of the word, it's got a bit of a mean streak. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is what this guy has. We saw that against England. The guy is not afraid to cause a bit of trouble. I'm all for, it's great having an old-fashioned English centre-half like a Michael Keane and a Jagielka as the backup. But we do need a kind of, an old-fashioned snide. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Next to them, a guy who can kind of do the dirty work. The guy who annoys the opposition strikers. The guy who wins the headers. The guy who throws his hands up and complains to the referee. The guy who will kind of, and he's not old, he's young as well, but the guy who will kind of do the dark art stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The experience stuff. If this does happen, I'd be very, very interested. I would really like it.
Yeah.
Much more so than the other guy who we talked about a few minutes ago.
The vibe that I'm getting from the Echo now, because I didn't used to really trust them, is that the club are pushing them some information this season the way they used to push stuff to Jim White. And I don't think that's happening anymore. That relationship's not happening. So I genuinely think every once in a while we're slipping them a note saying, here, guys, here's something. It's just for you. So, I think that's a real connection. So let's get to our actual transfer focus. Kieran Tierney. Again, the Echo came out and put out a story, and it was joined by other publications as well, that Kieran Tierney is our one of our main foci this particular transfer window, and we want him to be the successor to Baines. They've listed a price that it would be over £25 million. I have no idea exactly how this would work. He's a talented guy. He's a super talented kid. He has played Champions League games against some big opposition and not looked outclassed. So he recently signed a big contract. He's 21 years old. He's a boyhood Celtic supporter.
Yeah.
He's claimed that this is his dream place. He wants to stay there for the longest time. He's been out there with a megaphone, you know, talking to the supporters. You know, he seems like Mr. Celtic. And the Celtic supporters are all adamant, for the most part, that he's going nowhere. And he's definitely at least going to stay for their 10th win in a row in terms of, 10 in a row. They keep saying 10 in a row, okay? So, but the ones who have said he'll leave eventually, man, are doing nothing but slagging off Everton, saying he'll leave for a bigger club, okay? And they just say mean things about our club. No need for that. No need for that. You can be respectful. And we'll be respectful about Celtic here, okay? I don't see any need to talk jive about their club.
No.
I really don't. However, man, have you seen some of the ITK information that's out there about this guy?
Yes, little bits of it. I mean, like £80,000 a week, apparently, we're going to offer the guy. I mean, if the guy's going to get that amount of money, if there's anything to that, then he needs to be coming in and he needs to be playing straight away. I was talking to my brother, Terence. He was saying how if Tierney comes in, he doesn't think Tierney will come straight in. He would like to see him phased in with maybe Baines starting the season and kind of Tierney kind of being sort of slowly broken in and kind of getting a run in the team after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just don't see that happening for that amount of money. I don't think Everton Football Club can give a guy a contract like that and just put him on the bench. If Tierney comes, I would really, really like that. I mean, I have not heard anyone say a bad word about this kid. But if he comes, he has to be going in the team straight away for the money that's being bandied around.
I think that's why he would come to us, is because he's wanting a different challenge. And, I mean, because the Celtic supporters are saying, why would he go to Everton? Because he would have no European football, and they haven't won a cup for a while. You know, and it's not the nicest stuff, but at the same time, think about it. They're not awful points that they're bringing up. I see what they mean.
Yeah.
You know? However, why would he go to Man United and probably sit the bench and just waste away when he could come to us, get really good game time? And if he was Mr. Ambitious, and if we, for some reason, while he's here, we don't do anything while he's here, and we don't grow at all, but he proves himself. Then he's been able to grow for a little bit here, and then he can go off to some other place if that's the way he views it. See, my ideal scenario is he comes here, we improve, we get to where we want to be, and he wants to stay. You know what I mean? But you never know if that happens. But ITKs are saying that this is a done deal, the Celtic ITKs. And I'm assuming these ITKs for them are better than ours, okay? However, true ITKs, we were joking around with it earlier, true ITKs are mythical creatures, okay? You have to treat them like this, okay? Because the true ITK who has all the answers does not exist. It is like a unicorn, because unicorns don't exist, but horses exist. So what you do is you look at all the people who are claiming to be unicorns and just accept them as horses, and you still will get information usually. You know what I mean? So you look at these supposed ITKs. Some of them have legit information. You mentioned it earlier. The real question here is, if he comes, what happens with Baines and Robinson? So do you loan Robinson out and you know, let Baines kind of maybe rotate a little bit with Tierney? Or do you say, Baines, go try to get a starting gig somewhere and possibly roll with two completely unproven left backs in the Premier League? My thinking is you loan out Robinson one more year. You keep Baines and Tierney, and you decide who looks best in training, and you start that player. Mm. You know? I do think Robinson should be in our plans at some point. I have a soft spot because, you know, he plays for U.S. national team and everything. But I don't know if he's ready. I feel like he's in a position the way Kenny was last season, in that I don't know if he's ready to start as much, because I don't think Kenny was ready to start as much as he did last season. I think Kenny's ready to be a filler when he needs to be, but I don't think he's ready to shoulder the load full time. And I don't think Robinson is either. But I don't necessarily know. I think it's a risk if you go like that and you don't keep Baines, who actually played well last season when he was in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think it's worth mentioning, it depends on what Baines is happy with. If mm-hmm. Baines is willing to accept more of a back seat, mm-hmm. then great, ideal, we can do what you said. So we'll wait and see. But I do think that transfer will happen.
So, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. 22 years old, he's on the English national team. He has actually shown up in the World Cup and put in some decent performances. He's a center mid, attacking mid, whatever you want to call him. He's sort of played both. He's technically on the books with Chelsea, but he was on loan with Crystal Palace last season. There are rumors that we are in for him the same way Palace are. And maybe, I don't know if West Ham's in there as well. I don't know. But the rumors are that Chelsea don't want to sell, only loan. Not sure what's going on with that. And I don't know. I'm not even sure if we even want him. It's hard to say. But I think he's a talented guy. He's had injury troubles. He has. That's been a thing. So do you rate him despite the injuries?
Me and I rate him. I mean, he offers something that I don't think many other players in our team do. He gets the ball and he looks to drive forward. And we needed that so badly at times last season. I mean, I'm not the biggest Barkley fan in the world and never was, but I did notice a huge difference. There were times last season I thought, we need Barkley in this team mm-hmm. or a player like that. We need a guy who will just pick the ball up in our half and he will carry it 25, 30, 35 yards. And he will either win as a free kick or he'll put it out wide. He'll just push the team forward. And I think Loftus-Cheek does that really, really effectively. And it's a strange time at Chelsea at the moment, isn't it? I mean, no one really knows what's going on down there. Conte's still there as of now, as of this video going out, but he looks like he'll be gone any day.
And Sarri's supposedly coming in, but what's going on with that?
The new guy coming in. For all we know, this new guy, Sarri, will come in. And he wants to build his team around Loftus-Cheek. We don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, he could come in and think, no, Loftus-Cheek's not going anywhere. I want to work with that kid. If he is available, I would definitely like. I think it's worth having a loan. Definitely. I mean, worst that can happen if we get him on loan, he doesn't really cut the mustard, or things just don't work out for various reasons. And okay, we can send him back. But if he's available, definitely. But I just kind of, I would wait and see to see what's happening with Chelsea there before we lay our cards to the table and say we're definitely interested.
I'm just curious how we use him. That's my thing. Because I think if you're looking at Silva's formation, he would have to play, you know, because he a lot of times runs 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. He would have to be one of the three just in front, like one of the three center mids, or one of the two defensive players that would play right in front of the, or he'd have to play attacking the center attacking mid role, the 10. Okay. So where do you actually play this guy? Because if he's coming to Everton, he's coming for first team football. That would be why. Okay, he just doesn't want to sit the bench anymore. He wants to play. That's why he potentially wants to leave Chelsea. So if you've got to start Sigurdsson in the 10 role, you know, in that, in the 3, in the 4-3-3, that middle 3, do you play Loftus-Cheek with him and Gay, and that's your kind of your 3 in the middle? Are you playing him more as an 8? Is that how that works? Because if you play him more as an 8, he is somebody who's going to be coming back and playing more, you know, a ball winner, but also pushing forward, all right? I don't know. I don't think he would take Sigurdsson's spot, because where else do you play Sigurdsson? Or do you play Sigurdsson in the 8 role and push Loftus-Cheek up to that more attacking center mid role, more the Tom Cleverley position? You know what I mean? That he was playing for Watford. So I'm trying to figure out where you use Loftus-Cheek, because I don't think we're going to run him on the wings, even though he's a fast guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And from what we've read too, Marco Silva seems very keen on kind of convincing Morgan Schneiderlin to sit around. So if let's just say hypothetically that happens, Morgan Schneiderlin doesn't leave, or we sign a player to directly replace Morgan Schneiderlin, so it makes me strike that he wants to play with a number 6, like a kind of a ball-winning number 6. So if we keep Schneiderlin there and we keep Gay either side of him, who's the other guy? Is that going to be Sigurdsson?
Yeah.
To play as the third guy, the more attacking guy? Or is that going to be someone like a Loftus-Cheek? Or are we going to play a Davis there for the energy? Yeah. I mean, it seems like there is not enough room for everybody. If Loftus-Cheek were to come in, either Sigurdsson or probably Adrisajana Gay would be the guys who make way. And I'm not sure how that would go down. I mean, I'd be interested to see it, but I'd be very, very... It would be very strange to see an Everton side that doesn't have a fully fit Sigurdsson or Adrisajana Gay in it.
So that's my big problem with the transfer, and one of the reasons why I'm not sure it's going to happen. I'm sort of leaning toward no. But I think 2 weeks ago I was leaning toward it happening, so who knows how I'm going to feel next week. I guess that's it for Transfer Focus. On Tierney and Loftus-Cheek. Both good players. Let's see if they end up at Everton. We need to go over outgoing transfers. There have been some. We've had no incomings. They've been all outgoing. Let's cut the wage bill so we can bring in some people who aren't going to be stealing a living. That'd be great. Let's just start with one that people are sort of conflicted about. Wayne Rooney to DC United on a free. And that the reason it's on a free has to do with wages, I believe. Some people are annoyed that he left. Some people are like, oh, he's a legend. And other people are like, no, he's not an Everton legend. He gave us some goals last season. Cool. Have fun. Come back and coach sometime. That's... to me, seems like the natural way to put it. You know what I mean?
Regarding Wayne Rooney, I think the people who took it badly because it's very clear now, obviously, based on what he said at that press conference, that Rooney himself has taken it badly. I think if Rooney was kind of like the driving force behind the move, if Rooney had came out and said, no, I definitely want to go here. I don't want to stay at Everton anymore. MLS is absolutely where I want to be. Then I think kind of... the supporters who wanted him to stay would not be kind of... They wouldn't be as vigorous in their defence of the guy. I mean, I've read a lot of people saying, oh, the guy still had it. He just needed legs around him. He was misused. He played too many games. That the manager didn't use him properly. And there is some truth to that, maybe.
But yeah.
it was time to leave. It was the best deal for all parties, but I think the only people who've got a problem with it are the people who, you know, they love Rooney. It really hurt them when he left, and it's hurting them again that he's leaving again now. But the big difference this time is Rooney forced the move last time. It seems very much like it was the club forcing him to go this time, because he did not, to me, I mean, he was putting a brave face on it, but he did not look overly thrilled at being at that press conference yesterday. It seemed like, I'm only here because it's the next best thing, kind of thing. I didn't get what I want, so I'm just kind of trying to make the best of this, which is what I think, that was just all his body language told me in that press conference when I watched it, was, I'm just going to try and make the best of this, see what happens. Not, yes, this is absolutely what I want. I'm going to really wrap my arms around this. Rooney, it was time to leave. Yeah. And I think the man himself is having a hard time accepting that.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm a sentimental guy. I don't like... I was psyched the fact that he came back. I thought he actually started the season much stronger than I expected. I think he's got some in the tank still. I do. I think he can still play. But the problem is, we brought in a director of football and a manager. Okay? We brought them both in. Okay? We're showing faith in them. They have priority right now. The director of football's number one priority right now, cutting the wage bill to bring in other players. He's trying to be responsible. And if a player is not going to be contributing significantly, we're going to put them somewhere else to cut their wages. That's just what's going to happen. And I guarantee you, Rooney had a conversation with Silva, and Silva was like, I don't know what to tell you, man. You don't fit into my plan. You don't fit into my system. Because he doesn't. Look at his previous teams. Okay? He wants three center midfielders who have some pace and are going to run hard the whole time. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. And I don't think Rooney is going to cover as much ground as the other center mids. And I just don't think... I think he can contribute in DC. I think he'll do well, better than other people are predicting. But you just can't have room for sentimentality when you're trying to turn around a club right now. That sucks, but it's the reality. You know, you bring in people who can make hard decisions and take the friggin' emotion out of it. You know what I mean? So. But good luck, man. Wayne, we
good
are.
Luck to Rooney.
I am going to be going to DC to watch you with my family. Just saying. I'm driving. It's happening. And it'll be a big deal. A really big deal. So, Luke Garbutt to Oxford United on loan. The reason it's a loan is because we gave him a new contract. So that's. No one's going to buy him for what we would need based on that contract. It's just not going to happen. So he's on loan. Our loan players usually do well at Oxford. They're usually happy. So hope he does well. You know? It's just a disappointing situation. I think all of us were hoping he'd get more of a shot last season rather than Cuco Martina at left back, which was not a natural fit. But.
No.
So Connor Grant to Plymouth Argyle. He wasn't probably going to play. You know, good luck, man. I think that was a permanent, by the way.
Yeah. Local kids, they can't all make it. That's just the reality of the situation. Doesn't mean they can't go and have a decent career and make some money and be proud of themselves, but just not every kid who dreams of pulling on the boots and putting on the jersey for Everton is capable of achieving their dreams at that level, at least. So, as you said, it's just the reality of football. There's only so many dreams that can be fulfilled.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And every time I saw him play, there was some promise there. But I mean, I think he plays at a position where you need either more speed or more size. You know what I mean? And that's something that I don't know that he's. He seems like he's lacking a bit of that. So, yeah. Hope he kicks ass, though. Robles is gone.
I've personally got a lot of time for Robles. I mean, he had his chances to seize the number one spot for himself, and he just never quite managed it. I mean, he would have a run of good games, but then in a vital game, he'd let himself down. It's hard to really dig at the guy, because I think the good outweighed the bad with Robles. He did far more things that impressed me than things that really made me just get annoyed at him. But, you know, when you've got Jordan Pickford...
Yeah.
You haven't got a prayer of dislodging the guy. I would really like Robles if he could stay. I think he was a good goalkeeper. He would be a great backup, but I don't begrudge the guy going somewhere to be number one. Good luck to you, Joel.
David Hinnan, the guy we thought was coming in at the time, the most bizarre transfer like saga with Olympiacos and Anderlecht. Yeah. It was just the weirdest combination. He's leaving. I think when Martinez brought him in, we were all expecting him to make an impact quickly.
Yeah.
You know, young Belgian. Is he a striker? He's a winger, whatever. He's quick. He's fast. He's got speed. It's a bummer because I was always hoping he would get a chance this year too.
Yeah.
I was hoping he was going to... Yeah.
Strange player. I've been here for a while. Big things were touted originally and just for whatever reason, it never happened. I mean, he went out on loan. Did he go out? I think he went out on loan a couple of times.
He did.
And just never pulled up any trees. So maybe the guy is just not that good and it's just another stinker from Roberto Martinez.
It's hard to say.
To go with his many other stinker players. I mean, Martinez could make my grandma sound like Pele, where you would wax lyrical about them. So, yeah, he was brought in when the love for Martinez was at its all-time peak. So people believed every word out the guy's mouth when he was waxing lyrical about this kid. But, you know, as I said, just a lot of young players show promise and then it just never materializes. So, again, good luck to the guy. But there was that feeling of when he got here, right, I can't wait to see what this kid's made of. It's disappointing that we never really saw anything.
Yeah.
So I don't think he ever play a Premier League game for Everton at any point?
No.
It tells you everything, doesn't it? So.
Yeah, Martinez missed his calling as a salesman. I'm telling you, the guy can sell anybody anything. Just saying. But David Hinnan, again, good luck, man. He seemed like he wanted to play for Everton. Just saying. Speaking of someone who didn't really seem like they wanted to play for Everton at the end, Funes Mori to Villarreal for around £9 million. That 20-something million was not accurate, apparently. I get the vibe. The reason this happened so early is because he was pushing for it hard, that he just didn't want to be here anymore. That leaves us with no left-sided center back, no left-footed center back on the squad. So is this a smart transfer? I mean, it seemed triggered by Funes Mori. Assuming we've got people lined up, it seems like it was a good idea, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Funes Mori had a lot of guys, a lot of supporters who did like him. I mean, he was all heart. I'll give the guy that. The guy, you know, it seemed like every time he went on the pitch, he did give it his all.
Yeah.
And he did score some memorable goals. And it looked like it did mean a lot to him, getting the fans on side. I mean, but, you know, he just was not reliable enough. The fact of the matter, there were too many instances where he made the wrong decision or, just didn't have enough common sense. Now, if it was a case of sell Funes Mori and bring through a kid and try to replace him, then no, I would not be happy. I would like, no, if we can't go out and buy a ready-made replacement, then don't sell him. But
yeah,
it seems very, very likely that a new centre-back is going to come into the club. So if that's the case, shake hands to Funes Mori. You know, there were some good times here. You're welcome to come back anytime you like as a supporter or anything like that. But just go and live out the rest of your career now. So it's a good business, especially considering the fact we made a profit.
Yeah.
That whatever that money is, it seems that we have managed to make money on our initial investments, which considering the fact that he didn't have an awful lot of good games when he played for us, that's hard to do nowadays, to make profits on players who don't really impress anybody. Really, when a player comes here and he kind of doesn't ever establish himself at any club, it's hard to make a substantial profit on them. You normally just have to sell them for cheap to get them off the wage bill, but it seems like we've made quite a bit of money. So good luck to the guy. He's back in a league. He'll go to a league now that suits him better. They'll speak his native language because he's a Spanish speaker at first. So good luck to the guy. I won't miss him an awful lot personally, but what else is there to say? We can do better than Funes Mori. That's top and bottom. The club can do better than Funes Mori, and it looks like they are going to go out and do better than Funes Mori.
Yeah, I think we paid about the same amount that we got paid. You know what I mean? Mm. I think we bought him for around $9 million.
$9 million.
And I think we just brought in around $9 million. So I think it was about the same. I think we kind of broke even with Funes Mori. But getting money, period, is a good thing. And his wages are something to keep in mind too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Funes Mori was always good for about one brain fart a game. And that's scary when you play center back. Just saying. So, yeah. I think that's it right now for outgoing transfers. Yeah. Are we missing someone? Klaassen?
Ashley Williams. Yeah. Ashley Williams to Stoke.
Yeah, that one might happen. Yeah. Klaassen to Besiktas might happen. He's been rumored as being a part of a Domagoj Vida deal, but the terms of that change every day in the Turkish media. Who knows? I heard with the Stoke transfer, it's all about wages. That would be holding him back on that. Schneiderlin to Marseille, but as you mentioned in previous videos, Silva supposedly has tried to talk Schneiderlin into staying. So there's that. And who knows what Morales is doing? Who knows?
Cleaning the toilets.
No idea. There's also
that's all.
There's also rumors of DCL to Sheffield United on loan for a season. I don't know. There was a rumor. Just saying. So that's it for outgoings right now that I can think of. All right. Paul, we have a new manager with new ways of doing things, new outlook. And the vibe that everyone is pushing is that not just our manager, but our director of football is really going to try to bring players up through the ranks and to give youth a chance. Play the kids. That's what everyone is saying. One of the kids who was given some opportunities last season, who has always stood out, for several years for the U23s. I remember he played for, I think it was the Dallas Cup team, the team that won the Dallas Cup several years ago. U18s, yeah, I think. Yeah.
16, I thought.
Yeah, I remember. I watched those games. They played them on TV here. It was crazy. The guy I'm talking about is Benny Baningimi. Baningimi. Benny, we're just going to call him Benny. That's what's going to happen. Benny. All right? Yeah. So, Benny's 19 years old, and he got some opportunities to play last season, and he looked pretty good, to be honest with you. It's sort of an Idrissa Gueye style, you know, plays similar position, center mid, center defensive mid. Kind of goes around and kind of wreaks havoc and distributes. And I would almost say his passing is about as good or better than Idrissa Gueye's. He may not, I don't know. Who knows if he's got the durability, but he is younger, so he's going to be a little more naive. I think he's perfect cover for Idrissa Gueye, and I think it would be a really good idea to keep him in the squad. However, you never know. So what do you think about Benny's chances of being in the first team setup, and do you think he'll get some time this season?
I think it will depend on what Silva decides to do. I mean, we touched on it previously. If Silva decides to play Sigurdsson alongside a Schneiderlin and another sign of forward-thinking player, then Idrissa Gueye himself will find it hard to get in the team. So
that's true.
I don't any player if Idrissa Gueye is going to have his game time limited, then any player who's going to be cover for him is going to have his time even less limited. I mean, I like Beningami. I mean, he's a Unsworth darling. When Unsworth had his interim spell, he was basically him and John Joe Kenny were the players who came straight into the first team away. They got a lot of game time, whereas Ronald Koeman just did not give them the time of day. I doubt Ronald Koeman even knew who they were. So when he came in, he looked like this was at a really bad time of the season as well. He looked like he really played for the shirt, like he had a lot of passion, that he really had a point to prove, that he had lots of energy to spend. So it was a real breath of fresh air when he came into the team. Now, obviously, when Allardyce took over, he was kind of fell back into the shadows again. And then in the last few weeks of the season, he kind of got a few cameos here and there. He sort of came back a little bit. So he's clearly at the forefront of the manager's thinking. They are aware of him. There are some players like Klaassen and players like that who just get completely discarded and the manager just pretends like they're not even here, which wasn't the case with Beningami. I mean, we have seen players in the past for Everton and for other teams where they are the favourites of one manager. As soon as that manager leaves, that player, we never hear from them again. They just drop straight back down to the reserves, or they go out on loan, or they are just left to rot, basically. So, Beningami, I would like to see Beningami get some game time, but if Idrissa Gueye himself is not going to get much game time next season, which we don't know, we have to wait and see what Silva plans to do, then I think a long eye for the Beningame is not the worst idea in the world. I think telling Beningame to go out, get 30 games a season minimum under his belt in a team that is ideally set up similar to how Silva wants to set us up, I think that may be a good idea. But Beningame at this stage of his career, he just needs games. If he can get 15, 20 games here next season, coming off the bench and playing a cup game or a midweek game when we just need some freshness, then great, keep him around, let him learn, have a Trezeguet again, mentor him and kind of mould him. But if it's going to be a case of where he's just going to be a not even a spare part, he's just going to be a guy who's just put in the cupboard, we don't see him hardly ever, then alone is the best idea. Just get the guy some game time. That is what's most crucial. But he has to get up minutes on the pitch, he has to learn, and there's only so much he's going to learn when he is not on the field. So just get him on the field to play. So if he does go out on loan, I'd like to see him go to a team that is very similar to how we're going to set up and of a similar level, maybe a Premier League team, top championship team. I don't see the use of sending him to a League Two team.
I think a strong championship team. That's where, if we're going to loan some of these guys that are on the cusp, if we, for some reason, loan Dowell again, Beningame, if we loan DCL, these need to be to teams that are competing for promotion next season in the championship. I stand by a loan move to the championship. I really do. Because I think they go from having potential to marrying it with the physicality that the championship gives you. Like, that's one of the things that a lot of these kids don't have yet, you know? Because you get, I keep on saying it, carved out of wood, like in Fight Club. You go to the championship, you get carved out of wood because you play so many games and it's so physical, you know? It's a different type of physicality. So if it's going to make them come out a little bit more mature and more, mentally ready, mentally strong and physically strong, I think pushing those kids to the championship is a great thing. But you also think about the fact that the rumors are that we're only going to bring in about four players. You know what I mean? So if we bring in four players, center back, left back, maybe a center mid, and maybe a winger. So
maybe a striker.
The funny thing is, I feel like if you and I were to list our weaknesses, we'd have more than four. We would need about seven players if we really were listing what we need. But they're trying to keep it down from what we – and you know what? People may be wrong. You know what I mean? But they're wanting to have a squad of about 25 players. So that's – if you take every single position and put a backup for that position, that's 22 already. And then you got to have more than one striker backup. So one of those three players in the squad is a striker. So – where are the other two going to be? What are they? So, yeah, that's just – who knows what we're going to do with these players, you know? I don't know. I like the idea of having him occupy a spot on our squad. I think he's a good player. If we plan on having a Ghana Gay type of role for our squad, Beningame needs to be here to cover that, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if Silva's not running that style the way you said, we could definitely see him go out on loan. I could see that happen.
Yeah, so, definitely.
You're right. It's up to Silva. How's he want to do it? I don't know. I'm oddly confident with the guy, though. For some reason, I've been very comfortable with Silva lately. When I think about the fact that him going in and with Bronze, I don't know, that team, I'm just like, I'm okay. And I don't even mind that we're taking so long to buy players. I'm okay with it.
The other day, we got our first visual of Silva wearing the training gear, the season's training gear, and it was a great. He looked absolutely beautiful.
He looked like he wasn't wearing a pair of Copas. I was like, yes, it's like proper football boots. That's nice.
I can't wait to see what he wears because we always traditionally have. I mean, during preseason, the manager just seems to wear the training gear, the shorts, the socks. The sweatshirt for the final preseason game of the season, which is always at Goodison Park, where we kind of get a big name team over. The manager always puts his suit on. He looks smart because there's going to be a big crowd there. I can't wait to see the outfit he rocks at Goodison in August when we play. I believe it is the name escapes me. I think we booked a game in for Goodison. We always play one every season.
It's Valencia, right?
Yeah, it's Valencia. We always book a game in the first week of August, just before pre-season, and the manager always looks dapper, and I can't wait to see what Marco Silva pulls out for us.
It's a pretty legit pre-season, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Lille, Porto, Valencia, these are good squads. These are teams that actually have some quality players. I like this. So far, I'm on board. I don't have a lot of complaints this season yet.
Not yet.
All right. So anything else on Benny?
On Benny, the only thing I think is worth mentioning is if he does go on loan to a Premier League club, which is possible. I mean, I don't want him going to a team where the manager's going to change mid-season. I think that is very detrimental to a young player who's on loan. And it happens. Clubs get into trouble. They're right down the bottom. The manager's changed. The club's in turmoil. That is the last thing a young kid like him needs. Mm-hmm. Players who've got on loan, they need to just be at a stable club where they're either going to come up or they're just going to finish just below the... They're going to be safe. They're not going to end the season in total disaster.
Yes.
I don't want a player who just... He's thrown in the deep end. The club's in trouble. The atmosphere around the ground, around the stadium is terrible. The manager's out the door. You know, somewhere like a Swansea. That's a good example. I don't want to see him rock up at a Swansea or like a Crystal Palace last season where the whole club was just in turmoil.
I actually don't think he'll go to Premier League. I just don't see it happening. I don't know why.
I think we think more
of him than those teams would. You know what I mean?
True.
So,
Benny, yeah, to sum up, there's a place for him in our squad, but only if he's guaranteed to get time. If he's not going to play a dozen at least games this season, then he needs to go on loan because he needs game time. He needs time on the pitch to develop and to get minutes, and particularly with his style as well, because he's a pressing midfielder. Players like that, they need to be active. They can't just be playing 90 minutes 1 week, then out the next week. They have to get a run of games before they get fit.
Yeah.
So I want to see a lot before Bellingham. I've got, I think, high hopes for him. He's got a bright future, but let's just get him on the pitch playing and developing.
Oh yeah. So that's it for our Benny segment. It's very possible he's gonna have some first team minutes coming up. More than last season, one would think. So, that is it for that segment. It's also it for the big show. Podcasters out there, thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Rate it if you can. And if you're feeling super sweet, leave us a nice review. That would just, you know, do us a solid, folks. Also, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. We're creeping slowly toward 900. We appreciate the support, so thanks so much for that. Check out Paul's writing on the Toffee Blues website. He's got some analysis on there. Every once in a while, he drops the knowledge. Check it out. All right? Yeah, I'm hip. I'm with it. I went all Dr. Evil. Sorry. Comedy nerds. Also, speaking of the Toffee Blues website, just check out the website. There's a lot of analysis. All things Everton on there. Check it out. There's analysis by other contributors that come on our YouTube channel as well. You'll recognize people like Max on there, Tom. Lastly, check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm done plugging. No more. All right? Paul, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, man.
No problem, dude.
So, bye.